Thanks, Matt. Okay. Let's read from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It'll come on the screen in a moment. About 4 weeks ago, I started a series on this passage of scripture in 2 Chronicles, If My People. And today I want to do the second message on this passage of scripture. But first of all, let's read it. 2 Chronicles 7, I want to read from verse 11 through to verse 16. Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. Then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, "I've heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as a place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Then if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place, for I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart." Today I want to talk on the topic of prayer. 4 weeks ago I started off this series and talked on humility, and today I want to talk on prayer. Now, before I kind of go into the heart of today's message, I just want to say that I am only focusing on one part of prayer. There's too much about prayer to do in just one sermon. So Pastor Graham last week spoke about prayer and our heavenly prayer language, and I think that was an absolutely brilliant and powerful message. And so today, as I want to talk about prayer, as I said, I just want to focus on one aspect of prayer, and I am opposing prayer to call it to call in on the name of the Lord. I'm kind of separating those two. This passage of scripture says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face." I thought I'd do kind of one message on praying and seeking God's face, but I actually think that seeking God's face, there's a different dimension to seeking God's face that I would like to talk about in another message. So today I want to talk about prayer, and I'm going to focus on just one aspect of prayer, and I am not going to give you any kind of practical how-tos, because, again, there's just no time for all of that. Just to go back to a couple of things that I said 4 weeks ago, the first thing that we noticed is that God wants to actually work through us. That God actually, and it certainly is a mystery, you know, God who can just say the word and speak all of the universe into being, and this earth, and created mankind just through his word. Why does he need us? Why does he kind of want us to partner with him? Is a mystery to me. And today's message is going to kind of uncover more of that, but it's not really going to explain why God wants us, you know, but he does. He wants to partner with us to do things and to literally bring change to what is happening in our lives, to what is happening in our families, to what is happening in our church, to what is happening in our communities. We can partner, and God wants us to partner with him. And he's saying, if my people who are called by my name, which is us, will first of all humble themselves. And we talked 4 weeks ago about humility, and that to humble ourselves simply in one very small statement is to recognize that we need God, that we can't do this by ourselves. We can't manage our lives by ourselves. We can't do life by ourselves. And the sooner we recognize that we can't do life by ourselves, that we need God, we are in a good place to actually begin partnering with God to do things that are far greater than what we could do by ourselves. So humility is recognizing that we need God. So today I want to start to unpack the whole issue of prayer and to do a small study on it. First, the first thing that I'd like for us to recognize is this, is that God wants to give us what is good for us. I think sometimes we have a negative view or a misunderstanding about God, what God's will is. God wants to give us what is good for us. God's will for us is to do what is right in our lives, what is right in our community. Do you think that God wants this world to be in a messy state the way it is? No, God does not want that. God wants what is good for us. God wants what is good for humanity. The reason why he sent his son into this world is because he wants the very, very best for us. So God's will is good. Jeremiah, let me read just a few scriptures to kind of support the fact that God's will for us, or what God wants for us, is good. Jeremiah 29, "For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. When you call out to me and come to me in prayer, I will hear your prayers. When you seek me in prayer and worship, you will find me available to you." I thought that that passage right there really kind of got me really excited. You will find me available to you. Isn't that amazing? God, who created the heavens and the earth, the one who is the ruler over everything, he actually wants to make himself and has made himself available to us. "If you seek me with all your heart and soul, I will make myself available to you," says the Lord twice. He's saying, "I'll make myself available." Why? Because he has good plans for us. Matthew 7, starting in verse 7, says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Is there anyone among you who if his sons ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" And then in Luke 11, there's actually an expansion on that on this passage here. In verse 11, it says, "What father among you, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, although you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now here, Jesus is focusing on the fact that God will give us the Holy Spirit, and that's a good thing. But I think that we can kind of generalize what Jesus is saying. If we ask God, he will give us good things. He's not going to give us bad things. He's not going to give us anything that is bad for us or that is evil for us. God's will for us is good. And you've heard me say many, many times, and I'll continue to say it, and it's just because it's become a real truth for me, is that God has my very best interests at heart. And that's the first thing we need to know. Now, I'm building up to something, so I'm adding one point up to the one after the other. So that's the first thing we need to know about God's will. The second thing is this: God makes his will known to us. It's not hard to figure out God's will. It's not a difficult thing. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. He's placed them in our hearts. God's will is not something that we need to go and search for in places that are mysterious or in places that are difficult for us to go and find them. He's given us his will and he makes it known to us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15 says, "But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, saying, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them.'" I like that passage. I like that statement, the Holy Spirit witnessing to us. There's another passage in Romans chapter 8 that says that the Holy Spirit witnesses to our spirit that we are sons of God. There's this constant conversation happening between the Spirit of God and our spirit, speaking to us what the good will of God is for us. And if we would just stop and listen, you know, God is speaking all the time. It's a little bit like a radio. Your radio works in your car all the time. You know that the radio stations, whether you're listening to it or not, 89.9 FM, is constantly broadcasting. Did you know that? Even if your antenna is broken, the radio station is still broadcasting. Even if you turned off the radio station is still broadcasting. The reality is God is always speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is constantly trying to speak into our spirits. Now, you might have an aerial that's broken, or you might have turned off the radio. But the reality is God is speaking to us, and He is revealing His goodwill to us all the time. It's not a difficult thing. John 14:26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, and Graham just did a whole series on it, on the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to us all the time. A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This passage of Scripture has helped me many, many times to know one thing, is that we have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit is speaking to my spirit, and by default, my position is that by default, the first person who speaks into my spirit is the Spirit of God. So I know what the will of God is. Then comes the doubt, then comes the fighting, then comes the arguing. But if I go back to the first word, who was the first one who spoke to Eve and to Adam? To Adam and Eve. Who spoke first? God. Yeah? They knew what the word of God was. They knew what the will of God was. That was the first word that was spoken to them. And then came the doubt. Then came the lies. Then came the struggling. Then came the disobedience. But the first word that came into their life was the word of God. And I believe that God is the one who speaks to us first, that He gives to us His will first, that He speaks into our spirit, that we have the mind of Christ. And so it shouldn't be that difficult to figure it out. It's just when the doubt comes, it's just when the enemy comes and brings in all of his noise and all the mess that it becomes difficult. But if we go back to that clear voice of the Holy Spirit, it's not a difficult thing. John 15:15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, why have I been speaking about the will of God when I said that in reality my message was about prayer? Well, here's the point. Next point is this. God wants us to will His will. God wants us to will His will. Now, I've said to know God's will is not a difficult thing. To want God's will might be a different thing. Do we want God's will? Do we will God's will? And for me, that is the heart of prayer. How do I know that? Well, Luke chapter 11, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Teach us how to pray," this is what Jesus said. When you pray, verse 2, say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That statement there in this prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is kind of a giveaway that God is telling us that when you pray, what you are really doing is that you are asking me to do my will in your life. In other words, I've revealed my will. I want to reveal my will to you. My word, my spirit within you shows you what my will is. I have revealed it to you. It is a good will. Now, do you really want my will? And that's when we begin to partner with God. It's a mystery for me. It's something that I don't understand. Why does God need us? God can just go ahead and give us all of his good things right away. But he's saying, no, I want you to want my will. I want you to ask me. I want you to seek me, to know my will, and then to say, Father, let your will be done. This is your will. Your will is for me to, we've been praying, for instance, a lot about prayer. Now, what is God's will about healing? Sorry. What is God's will about healing? What does the word of God say about healing? Well, do we want God's will? Do we want to see healing in this place? Do we want to see people healed? Well, yes, I want to. My will is the same as God's will. So we can begin to pray, not because it's my will, but because it's God's will, and I am in agreement with his will, and I'm saying, yes, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, why does God wait for us to will? I think there's one reason why, is that God has given us to be masters of our own will. God has given us to be free moral agents. And so free will lies in our hearts. In terms of, you know, if we're all human beings here, right, aren't we? God has created us with a free will. Most of us here, I guess, fall under the category of being human beings. And as human beings, God has given to us a free will. And God is a gentleman. He will not violate his will. He will make his will known to us, but he will not impose it upon us. He's waiting for us to say, yes, Lord, let your will be done. I think that's quite amazing. So the question is, do we really want God's will for our lives? Maybe the reason why, and I've got to make an admission here. Prayer has always been a struggle for me. It's a struggle. There are lots of things that my mind wants to do when I kind of want to engage in prayer. It's like, that's when I think of all the things that, you know, all the to-do lists. All of a sudden my to-do list becomes really, really clear at the moment that I want to pray, you know. Or I need to reply to this email. You know how it goes. That's why I really like what Graham taught us last week, because when it becomes really difficult to pray, then I just allow myself to use that tool of the heavenly language that God has given to us to pray. And I find that much more efficient than my own words. But I'm not saying that I'm a specialist in this, but I do know that when I do partner with God in knowing his will, that something powerful happens. Now, does that mean we should simply become complacent? In other words, should we simply say, well, God will have his way after all, you know, if it's God's will? Well, in reality, I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying if it's God's will, then we have to start partnering with him in prayer so that we can let him know, God, I really want this too. I really want your will to be done. I really want to see healing happen in our midst. I really want to see a change in this situation. I know your will is to restore this relationship. I really want it too. Lord, would you come and manufacture an opportunity for this relationship to be healed? It's his will to heal that relationship. Why don't we express that it is our will too to him? Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The fourth point, God wants us to ask. So not only does God want us to will his will, but God wants us to ask. Why? Ask. How can I know when my child wants something if he doesn't ask? Now, there's some basic things that I know that he needs. But there are some things that, you know, sometimes they kind of look at me saying, don't you really know what I want right now? But the reality is that sometimes we just don't know. Maybe it's good to ask. And so that's why God is encouraging us to ask. Matthew 7:7, we've read it before. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. So God wants us to ask for his will. James 4:2, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, and that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now, I think that goes back to asking according to God's will. You know God's will. You know that God's will is good. So let's ask according to God's will, and we won't be surprised in that case that God actually answers our prayers. If he doesn't answer our prayer, maybe James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 comes into the equation. All right, point number 5. The prayer of the righteous man can accomplish much. Verse 16 of James 5 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The NAS version says the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So, there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. We can accomplish much through prayer. The righteousness God has, through his son Jesus Christ, imputed to us righteousness. We can come before God because we have been made righteous. So we know that when we pray according to God's will, we ask him that his will be done, and we know his will and we ask, then that prayer will accomplish much. It continues in verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So Elijah wasn't different to you and I. Elijah wasn't born out or created out of a different caste. Elijah was like us, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. I think that that's an amazing example of what God wanted, and Elijah partnered with him in prayer, and it happened. That's amazing. And finally, what's the promise? Well, the promise is this: if we humble ourselves, as we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in other words, we admit that we need God, that we can't do it alone. If we humble ourselves and we pray, in other words, that we ask that God's will be done, then God will make himself available to us. And let me read again in Jeremiah chapter 29. For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope when you call out to me and come to me in prayer. You know, often we read Jeremiah and we quote Jeremiah just verse 11, don't we? We hear many, many messages on Jeremiah 29, 11, and we just kind of say, well, yeah, God has great plans for you and God will prosper you. But then in the context, there's a little bit more to it. When you call out to me and come in prayer, I will hear your prayers. When you seek me in prayer and worship, you will find me available to you. If you seek me with all your heart and soul, I will make myself available to you, says the Lord. Again, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 15. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. Why don't we stand? So obviously this was by no means a message that covered every part of prayer. But I think it's a beginning. That we can know that God has a will for us. God has a will for our families. God has a will for our communities. God has a will for our church. God has a will for our school, for our workplace. God has a good will. And he makes his will known to us. And we can partner in him and say, Lord, I know what your will is. Your will is to heal my friend. Your will is to restore this relationship. So I pray now that your will be done. Let this relationship be healed. Let me be a part of that process of healing if you want me to. Give me words to say. We ask, and the prayer of the righteous man and woman can accomplish much. Father God, we don't always understand everything about your word. We don't understand everything about prayer, but we do know that it works. And often our brains, especially those of us who try to understand how things work, we we kind of are a bit amiss in terms of, well, how does this work? But the reality is we know that prayer works. We know that you want to reveal your will to us. We know that you want to work your will through us. And so, Lord, I pray that today, as this seed of your word was sown into our lives, that we would learn to pray. Just as the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to say, Lord, teach us to pray. Show us the power of prayer. That when we do call upon your name, that when we do ask you, that when we do, Lord, have these conversations with you, that you do hear us, that you are attentive, that you do make yourself available, and that things do change when we pray. I pray that this week we would actually see that prayer in action in our lives, that we will actually dare to try it out, that we actually dare to ask for things that we know are your will and partner with you and see those things in our lives change or in the lives of people around us. Let your will be done through us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.